Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Monday, March 4th, 2024. At our top story today, will ETFs drive mutual funds extinct? Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Anna Helmke is working on her doctoral dissertation at the Wharton School. Anna, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I love this research. In fact, I love the title. So I'm going to ask you, based on your analysis, based on your research, will ETFs, exchange-traded funds, drive mutual funds extinct?
Short answer, no. But let me give you the longer answer as well. So first of all, just to clarify, so we're on the same point, we're talking here about index funds. So index ETFs and index open-end mutual funds. This is not a story about active versus passive. This is really just a story about the wrapper being an ETF as compared to an open-end mutual fund and the underlying portfolio being whatever index you want to invest in. And so the key idea is that of course, a lot of people in the industry will tell you that the average investor is best served by investing in a diversified portfolio of securities, such as a diversified benchmark index. And now the problem is that generally investors cannot directly access these benchmark indices, such as the S&P 500, the Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index, but they have to rely on investment funds to gain their desired index exposure. And so here, investors generally have the choice between an ETF and a mutual fund wrapper to access this index exposure. And so now the question I'm focused on in my research is, does it matter whether investors invest in an index through an ETF or an open-end mutual fund?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say, that I want to dispel some myths as well throughout our conversation. I think you do that in the research because everyone always says that liquidity is a big issue. So exchange-traded funds have greater liquidity. Mutual funds, you've got to send a sell order in and you've got to sell the shares and there's a little less liquidity. But your research maybe says that it comes down to the timing of liquidity. It may be the differential.
That's exactly correct. So I'm trying to really dispute this idea that ETFs will always provide you with more intraday liquidity just because they're traded on exchange, just like stocks. And so the idea is as follows. The key feature behind ETFs is that you trade them on exchange, just like stocks. So when you put in your buy or sell order, you would trade at the current prevailing market price. And so on average, this market price tends to be close to the underlying fund net asset value, which is really the fundamental value of the fund's portfolio holdings. Now, what happens in times of increased market volatility, such as, for example, the March 2020 market sell-off, is that these prices, so the ETF prices at which investors are trading at, they can diverge substantially from the fund net asset value. And so if you look at the data, what you see that is that in the US, the average bond ETF traded at a discount of around 3% and the average international equity ETF traded at a discount of around 2.5% on an asset weighted basis in March 2020. So this means that these discounts, so the deviations of the ETF price from the fund net asset value, they can be large in periods of volatility. And so this is especially true in market segments where the underlying portfolios are less liquid, such as international equities or bonds. We also see these effects for large cap domestic equities, such as the S&P 500 index ETFs, but they are smaller in magnitude. And so now what this means for investors and what the key takeaway is from my research is that when investors invest in these index funds, with potential short-term liquidity needs, meaning they have these assets, but they know that they may have to liquidate fund shares at short notice because they have some emergency funding need or they want to reallocate their portfolio, then ETFs may actually be a worse choice because they will have to realize these discounts. And so they're subject to this mispricing risk.
Yeah. Now, go ahead. Well, let me ask you one question and then you can bring your answer into the what you're going to say. But so a lot of, again, going back to some of these myths, right? ETFs, greater liquidity, and we're already talking about how that may be a benefit, but it also may be negative because of the great volatility. But also that they're more tax efficient, right? That's another component of ETFs, is that you don't have the same capital gains that you would in a traditional mutual fund. And you talked about the retail investor. I mean, what do they need to know? So when you're thinking about going to an advisor, or you're thinking about going direct, you need to think about the is volatility the main thought process when you think about the vehicle that you want to buy, whether it's a mutual fund or the ETF?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing up the point regarding tax efficiency. So that has been the usual story from the industry sides that ETFs, they're just this better vehicle because they're subject to this tax efficiency. And so I think this is an important consideration for retail investors when they're investing outside of their tax-deferred retirement accounts, but actually doesn't really help us understand how investors and also policymakers should think about ETFs versus mutual funds when it comes to retirement accounts, where all assets are generally tax deferred. So that's what I wanted to say on this point. And then talking about what investors should be aware of when they think about investing in ETFs versus mutual fund, you're exactly right. So they should be aware of what purpose and what horizon they are investing in. So if you have an investor that says, I have this money, I'm not going to need it for 10 years, and now I want to put it in some fund, then actually the ETF is a great solution because you don't really care about the mispricing risk over the short term because your money's just going to sit there, and eventually you can just wait for calm market conditions with regards to when you will liquidate your assets. However, if you have an investor that has, say, some money in an emergency fund, they want to invest it because they want to earn some returns, but they may have to liquidate these fund assets at short notice, then actually the mutual fund may be the better choice because of the guaranteed redemption at the fund net asset value. So the key advantage of mutual fund is that whatever aggregate market conditions and whatever liquidity conditions in financial markets, you will always be guaranteed to receive what we think of as the fundamental value of the fund shares, that is the fund net asset value.
Well, and I need to take a very quick break, but I want to pick up the conversation. When we come back, we'll talk more about the ETF versus mutual fund debate. I think we've kind of put some of this to bed, but we're going to talk more about it. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Anna Helmke, working on her doctoral dissertation at the Wharton School. Anna, thanks so much for staying with us.
Thank you.
So really enlightening research, and I think if you put it in the context of the liquidity, I think it's eye-opening for institutional and also retail investors. Let me ask about policymakers, because you referenced that in segment one. A lot of these products, ETF or mutual funds, are regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. What do policymakers need to know when they're creating rules and regs. And I'm thinking about the prospectus that, you know, everyone knows the fund prospectus. Not many of us read it, but what do our policymakers, our regulators need to know?
Yeah, so since you mentioned the fund prospectus, I think one important dimension that perhaps regulators can do more is highlight the risks that are associated with ETFs and mutual funds more also in the fund prospectus. So in my research, I find that there's really two distinguishing features that are specific to ETFs versus mutual funds. We, in the first segment, we already highlighted the mispricing risk in ETFs. And so what you can do as a retail investor, if you look at the prospectus, but also if you look at the fund website, usually it will give you some overview or some short time series in which you can see the mispricing. So the difference between the ETF price that you're going to trade it at the fund net asset value. However, often the fund companies seem to choose the time frame over which to display this metric to their advantage. So they will choose a shorter time frame. So you can really not see how this mispricing and this ETF price behaves in periods of higher volatility. And so I think it is important that regulators take a look at this and perhaps mandate some standard timeframes over which this data has to be reported to the investor. On the other side, the key problem or the key risk in index mutual fund is that there is an externality among fund investors. And now this is a bit complicated, so let me try to break it down in simple terms. So the key feature of mutual funds, as we discussed earlier, is that you can redeem at the fund net asset value. Now, a problem emerges when the funds hold less liquid assets, think about, again, international equities or bonds, because these underlying securities, they're not traded that frequently, or they're traded even in different time zones. And so now what this implies for investors is that the net asset value may be flexible because it will readjust to new information, but it's not fully flexible because it doesn't account for all the costs that are going to be generated by fund flows. So generally what happens in periods like March 2020 is that a lot of investors are redeeming mutual fund shares at a price that is slightly too high compared to what they would get if they were to liquidate the underlying securities themselves in the market. And so these redemptions at a too high net asset value hurt the long-term, the remaining mutual fund investors. And so I think this is a risk that has been debated a lot in policy circles and is also mentioned in the SEC's recent proposal on swing pricing for open-end mutual funds, another story. But I think this is something that investors may not always be fully aware of.
Yeah, really good point. And I want to kind of close out on what you're describing makes a lot of sense. But until I read your research, I have to say a lot of it went over my head, but I read the abstract made a lot of sense. And the executive summary, it was great research, but it, you know, for a guy like me, it just a lot of it went over the head. But let's talk about education, because so much of, obviously you're coming from a very great institution. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done on educating people about investing, on financial literacy, financial wellness. This, what you're describing, it's almost like there's that educational component. So the SEC and the regulatory bodies and the policymakers have to make sure that everything is disclosed and the performance and all the information is disclosed with the same timeframes. But there's also an educational component for the average investor, is there not?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think this is also where really the inspiration for my research came from, because I was sitting at home during the pandemic, as we all did, and I was observing this rise in retail investing. And I realized that a lot of retail investors, of course, they're trading options, they're trading individual stocks. But if you think about what financial advisors will tell you, you should invest in a diversified index and ideally not touch it for a long time. But it's not as simple as that. Even though the idea of index investing sounds very simple, it's more complex, right? Because then you know you want to invest, say, in the S&P 500, but then suddenly you're offered with these ETFs or mutual funds and you have no idea how they operate. So I totally agree with you that regulators as well as fund companies themselves have to do more to educate investors to make sure that they can make an informed choice when they choose in what kind of vehicles to invest.
Yeah, it is the vehicle that you invest is almost, as you say in the research, is almost as important in the type of investment, right? I mean, that is really what we're seeing here. Anna, we're going to have to leave it there. Really great research. We want to wish you best on your getting your PhD, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
That wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest? Someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives? Check out our latest content? Then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRNAM. We'll have a very special guest and, of course, an important topic. You're not going to want to miss it. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.